Well, you all know that I'm a pretty simple man, and so a guitar and a few voices and a handful of people doing just that. The glory of God is all our hearts long for, and doing that amongst the family is a beautiful thing. You know, like some of the most powerful times of worship I've ever experienced have been far from the big show. You know, I remember a time in Colombia as an 18-year-old in an orphanage in a little town called Villa Vicencio, and literally gunfire in the jungle behind us, and you know, a group of, you know, probably 12 and 13-year-old kids just around a campfire and acoustic guitar and singing. I can't remember what song it was, but it was in Spanish. I had no idea what they were singing. But man, I felt the presence of the Lord just in this really powerful and tangible way. And you know, moments meeting with underground believers in house churches in China where there's, you know, literally got to whisper prayers because the fear of being heard and all the rest of it. And you feel the presence of God in those moments. And you know, I'm just reminded tonight that it's, you know, it's not about anything that we can manufacture. It's not about what we can do in our own strength or in our own power, but being available to the power of the Holy Spirit as He is at work within us is a beautiful thing. And so we just continually give ourselves to that end. Thanks for being here tonight. I don't know what everyone else's excuses was, but I certainly didn't get any letters from anyone's mum. 2 months ago, we set out on this journey of both learning about and experiencing the Holy Spirit in new ways, perhaps, for you. Maybe ways that have opened your eyes up, and we've come to see in Scripture who the Holy Spirit is. We've come to a deeper understanding of how the Holy Spirit works in our lives, how the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity who invites us into partnership with Him in what He is doing in the world. We've been encouraged through stories that have both been shared here. And as I mentioned last week, I was bummed not to be here, but I hear that the testimonies shared were powerful and encouraging. But to hear the stories of how each person in our church has been experiencing the person of the Holy Spirit in their everyday life has been wildly encouraging to me. To hear the stories of encouragement, of transformation, hearing the stories of people starting, like Jody, starting a prayer group in her workplace because she felt a prompting of God. And the stories have just been unfolding over the last 2 months and have been incredibly encouraging. So tonight I want to draw together the series that we, you know, we've been intentionally focusing on the Holy Spirit. And I want us to have a time of response to the grace and the glory of God as He invites us ever deeper into His love, and He invites us ever further into His mission. And so we're gonna have a time of prayer and commissioning, sending us, Lord, send us out again into our workplaces, into our homes, into whatever sphere of influence that we operate in, be that, you know, whether we're a kid in school or a big person in our jobs or whatever the case might be, that God would indeed continue to use us mightily. Let me pray before we dive into some stories. I'm going to share with you a few stories of people. I'll open the word and we'll draw it all together in the end with some prayer and some anointing. So Father, I'm so grateful for your word. Father, we thank you that it is alive and active, and Holy Spirit, you are the one that enlightens us to the truth contained within your word. And so Father, I pray that we would experience both the breath of God as you speak to us through what has already been written. Father, encourage our hearts, be with us, show us more of who Jesus is, that we would be more like him, that we would love like him, that we would live like him and for him, all for his glory. Amen. Well, I came to learn about a lady called Gladys Allwood this week. And Gladys Allwood, she worked as a housemaid in England in the 1920s. She didn't have much of an education. In fact, when she applied to a missionary training school, she failed the course. And most people would have taken that as the end of the road, but Gladys had a conviction that God was calling her somewhere, and that somewhere was to China. And with little money, she saved up, she bought a one-way ticket on the Trans-Siberian Railway, and she set out alone. She had no plan except to obey God. And in time, she became a trusted friend to local officials. She opened up an inn for travelers. And during the war years, she led over 100 children across the mountains into safety. And as I was reading about Gladys, I was reminded that it's people like her that the Spirit, you know, he doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. That Gladys simply said yes to God, and that was enough for him to do something quite radical and incredible through her life. Much like William Wilberforce, who was a young politician in England in the 1700s, who came to faith in Jesus. And his first thought when he came to faith was, I need to leave politics altogether and become a minister. But through prayer and counsel, he realized that the Spirit was saying to him, stay where you are, I want to use you there. And that obedience wasn't easy. And for over 20 years, Wilberforce fought tirelessly against the British slave trade. Year after year, he was defeated in Parliament, but he kept saying yes to God's call. And finally, in 1807, the slave trade was totally abolished. Now, it's the likes of Wilberforce that remind us that when the Spirit sends us, he often sends us right where we already are, in our workplace, in our school, in our community, to bring his kingdom in the place he has already placed us. Which got me thinking about more people that have inspired me. Jackie Pullinger. Anyone heard of Jackie Pullinger? In the 1960s, Jackie was a young woman from England. Again, I don't know what it is with the English. But who felt God nudging her to just go. Just go. So she also bought the cheapest boat ticket she could find and prayed that God would somehow and somewhere show her where to get off the boat. And she ended up in Hong Kong in the notorious Kowloon Walled City, a place of poverty, of addiction and crime. A place where most people would actually run the entire opposite way. But again, Jackie was someone who said yes. She began caring for drug addicts and sharing the hope of Jesus. Over time, countless people were healed. Lives were restored. A community of faith emerged in that city. In fact, I actually went there, I don't know when it was, probably in the early 2000s, and I met with Jackie and I walked around and saw the ministry. I went to her church and it was absolutely incredible what she was doing. You know, it's the Jackies of the world that show us that saying yes to the Spirit often takes us to unexpected places, but it's there that his power is most often clearly seen, in the unexpected places. And then there's Brother Andrew. You've probably heard us share about Brother Andrew, the founder of Open Doors, the ministry of Open Doors to the persecuted church worldwide, who I had the privilege of working with for, I don't know, about 10 years and got to travel and see much of the world with. And but after World War II, Brother Andrew, who was just a Dutch soldier, and he prayed a simple prayer, Lord, I am available. Now, I don't know whether he was just looking for a girl or whether he was praying something more sincere and far-reaching than that. But not long after he prayed this prayer, he felt led to bring Bibles into countries where Christians were being persecuted and, in fact, where the Bible was banned. He had no resources. He had no organization. He just had obedience. And time again, he drove across borders. In fact, in a VW, a little blue V-dub was the first car he ever had, and then it turned into more of like a combi where he had like secret compartments hidden in his van. I walked through the original van at the head office of Open Doors over in Holland, and it was like pull-down latches and all kinds of things that had Bibles stashed in his things. But he would always pray going across borders, Lord, when you were alive and you walked the earth, you made blind eyes see. I pray that you would make seeing eyes blind. In fact, that was a prayer that we grew up praying as we worked with Open Doors, going through customs, smuggling Bibles into the Beijing Olympics, going through. We got arrested only once, but that was the prayer we prayed. God, make these seeing eyes blind. You know, we don't normally pray that, but please do it this time. But, you know, God made a way. Brother Andrew's yes opened the door for believers behind the iron curtain and in all kinds of places to be strengthened and encouraged. You know, we had the privilege again with Elise and with Jen White, we sat at Brother Andrew's house. He had us over for morning tea at his house. The most understated thing ever for a dude who's like a hero of the modern faith. He invited us over for tea and scones in his tiny little townhouse, you know, like, you know, this guy, he's traveled the world. He gave, you know, Bibles to some of the most incredible, not incredible in a good way, but world leaders who otherwise were creating devastation. He was the first ones to go and sit in their parliamentary offices and offer to pray for them and give them Bibles. Absolutely incredible. But Brother Andrew has always been a source of encouragement to me in that the Spirit delights to take ordinary obedience and to use it for extraordinary things. And as I sat with these stories, I can't help but to see the availability and the obedience and the courage that each one of these people have. And I can see it reflected in the prophet Isaiah. And in Isaiah 6, we read about a moment in Israel's history where their king, King Uzziah, had died. And for them, this was a time of great national grief and uncertainty. The threads of their nation were being pulled at, and it felt like the whole thing was about to unravel. And at this time, Isaiah was given a vision of God on his throne. He saw God high and exalted. He saw them crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And the temple shook, and the presence of God filled the entire place, which was really a stark contrast to the immediate frailty of human kings and human kingdoms at the time. And overwhelmed by the holiness of God, Isaiah cried, "Woe to me, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips." He knew that he was unworthy to stand in God's presence. But then an angel took a burning coal from the altar and he touched Isaiah's lips with it, which would have hurt I'm sure it would have anyway, and declared, "Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And now cleansed and made new, Isaiah was now ready for God's call. Which then came the voice of the Lord, who said to Isaiah, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And with no details of the assignment, only a heart of surrender, Isaiah answered simply, "Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me." You know, these are six words that I believe are to mark our future beginning again now. God, here we are. Send us. Lord, here I am. Send me. And perhaps this is a prayer that you prayed once upon a time, but it's now been left collecting dust like a treasured book that hasn't gone anywhere. It just hasn't been pulled off the shelf for a while. Now, perhaps you have once prayed that kind of prayer of availability, that you prayed it really meaningfully at one time. Lord, send me. But perhaps you don't feel like it gripped your heart and your imagination in a way that compelled you forward into what God has for you. Well, maybe like me, you've from time to time experienced disappointment in that. You've said, "Lord, here I am, send me." And he hasn't sent you to Fiji, he's done that. But he hasn't sent you, to the, you know, the place with the fancy house and the fancy cars and, you know, all the rest of it. And maybe you're carrying disappointment because you've prayed that prayer before, but you're like, "Really, God, is this it?" I mean, maybe this is a prayer that summarizes the holy agitation that is stirring within you right now. Maybe as you look around our community or you look around the world or you look at things that are happening around us and you're just desperate and you're agitated within in a really holy way. God, send me to that person or send me into that situation. But wherever we may be along our faith journey, my curiosity lies firmly on what would come of our neighborhoods, and what would come of our schools, what would come of our workplaces our social networks, our social platforms, our work sites, our homes, our inner lives, our leadership circles, heck, even the large-scale national enterprise and government bodies. When the people of God, people just like you and me, average Joes, and we would rise to our feet in response to what God has done in our lives, and when God says, "Whom shall I send?" that people just like us say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." You know, in the Bible, we've got a litany of examples of people who said yes to the leading of God in their lives through the indwelling Spirit. And one that sprung to my mind this week as I prayed about what to share about this evening was the young David. And at the prompting of God, he rose to the occasion. He took a huge step of faith when on paper it made absolutely no sense that he would. Now, I'm sure the kids in the room would be able to tell the story better than this old fuddy-duddy. But in 1 Samuel 17, it tells us the story of David and the champion of the Philistine army, whose name was Goliath. And Goliath was a giant of a man who stood over 9 feet tall, apparently, heavily armed and intimidating. For 40 days, he taunted Israel's army. He stood out on the hillside, beating his chest. "If anyone would come and take me on, come and take me on." But no one ever dared to step forward. Israel's soldiers, including King Saul himself, were terrified. You know, the kind of scared where a little bit of wee comes out and you've got to change your undies. But then a young pup named David, a wiry, scrawny shepherd boy, sent by his father to bring food to his older brothers on the battlefield, he rolled into camp. David was far from the conventional soldier, but he was stirred with both faith and indignation that Goliath would try and defy the living God. And in a move that no one expected, and certainly that no one wanted to give their tick of approval to, David volunteered to fight Goliath. And Saul offered David his own armor, which he rejected because it didn't fit him. So he went out with only his sling and 5 smooth stones. And as he stared Goliath across the hillside, eye to eye, he said, "The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." You know, to cut to the chase and get us to dinner sooner rather than later, with 1 stone from his sling, David struck Goliath on the forehead, and Goliath fell to his death. And then David's courage and faith went on to inspire Israel's army to rally, and they defeated the Philistine army. And now I run the risk of probably being a little bit oversimplistic here, which you're like, "Bring it on." But this story is a reminder of how God uses the unlikely, how God uses the overlooked, how God uses the weak, how he empowers those kinds of people by his Spirit to bring victory when they trust and say a simple yes to him. And it's just really 5 really quick things here that we see in this story of David and many others who embodied this Isaiah prayer of, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And the first one is this: that the Spirit equips us beyond human expectation. See, David wasn't the obvious choice. He was young. He was inexperienced in war. He was overlooked by his own family. But the Spirit, which we see in the chapter before, 1 Samuel 16, had already anointed him, preparing him for a task that was far greater than his abilities. And in this, we can see that the Spirit gives us resources and strength that go beyond our resume, our age, or what anybody else thinks of us. You can take that to the bank, that the Spirit equips you beyond anybody else's expectation. Secondly, the Spirit works through what we already have. You know, David, I love it that he didn't put on Saul's armor. He could have trudged out there in the oversized, you know, armor to try and protect himself. But he went, "You know what? Stuff that. You can keep your armor. I'm just going out with what I've got." He didn't want for more. He didn't want the bigger arsenal. He He didn't compare with others and go, look, they've got bigger guns and they've got bigger swords and I want one of what they've got. Instead, he took the sling and the stones that he knew how to use. Now, the Spirit, he uses our unique gifts. He doesn't operate separate to who he has created us to be. He uses our strengths. He uses our talents. He uses our personalities. He uses our passions. Heck, he even uses our quirks and our weaknesses. You know, the challenge for us is to bring what is in our hand, however meager it may seem, and watch the Spirit use it for his glory. You know, if David could take down the enemy with what was in his hand, 5 smooth stones of which he only needed 1, I am sure that the Lord can do something mighty with what he has deposited in your life, my friend. Thirdly, we see this, that the Spirit gives David a different perspective. And the Spirit gives us a different perspective. See, the Israelite army saw a giant too big to fight, but David, filled with faith, saw a giant too big to miss. The Spirit reshapes how we see challenges. Not through fear, but through God's power. He shifts our mindset from this is impossible to our God is able. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. I mean, that was true of David, was it not? Everyone else there saying, this is impossible. How are we going to take this 9-foot giant down? David steps out and he says, no, God is able. And he'll prove right. Fourthly, the Spirit leads us to trust God and not ourselves. I love that declaration that David made as he stared down the barrel straight into Goliath's eyes. The battle is the Lord's. And he will win victory for us. He knew that it wasn't his strength or his skill that would win, but God's power. You see, the Holy Spirit at work in our lives keeps us dependent on God, reminding us that victory comes through his presence and not through our performance. You know, David, as a song and a dance with his little sling, that wasn't going to achieve anything apart from the power of God. And that's what the Holy Spirit does, friends. He leads us to that place of deep trust, knowing, you know what? I've only got this much in my hand. I've only got this much energy. I've only got this much time. I've only got this much capacity. I've only got this much money. I've only got this much resource. I've only got this much, insert whatever the thing is right there. And God takes that whatever we have, just the smallness of what we have, and he leads us to trust him with what we have and not in ourselves. And lastly, the Spirit makes our obedience a witness to others. That when David stepped out in faith and we see the victory, the whole nation witnessed God's power, that his courage inspired others to stand up. And as I said, the testimony of what God has been doing through your lives has done just that for me, and I'm probably sure that it's done that for you over the last couple of months as well. As you have heard how God has been stirring and inspiring and encouraging people and pushing people out of their comfort zones into new places, that kind of courage inspires the rest of us to rise up. You know, when we say yes to the Spirit, our obedience becomes a testimony that can strengthen and embolden those around us. And we have seen that truth played out time and time again. You know, friends, we may not be the Gladys Allwoods or the Willie Wilberforces or the Jackie Pullingers or the Brother Andrews of our day, but then again, maybe we are. You know, it's easy to believe that the heroes of the faith like this that inspire us, they seem like they are going to be the ones whose faces are down the hallways of heaven. You know, we're going to look at them and go, oh, remember that amazing hero? They did this and they did that. While our photos are going to be in like the family album that's in the box in the bottom of the garage, never to be seen again. But reality is, though, that these people are no different to you and I. People made in the image of God. People created and crafted for a relationship with him. People who on their own account didn't have much to offer. But in Christ and through his grace and his mercy, he forgave them, he redeemed them, he filled and he empowered them, and he sent them into the world to bear witness to his love and grace. We share this in common with every hero of the faith that we see in the Bible and every hero of the faith that we see in the pages of history that speak to the goodness of God in our world. And as they, along with the Isaiahs and the Davids of the Bible, They responded to the invitation of the Spirit and said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." That's what started all of this for them. "Here I am, Lord, send me." And as they have done this, people across the world were rescued from horrific circumstances, shown unconditional love. People received a Bible in their hand for the very first time. People heard the gospel spoken in their native tongue. People had their wounds, you know, patched up by people who cared enough to get into the mess of their lives. People had friends come alongside them in the mess of life and encourage them. People had leaders who fought for freedom and justice. They had renewed hope, given a reason and a purpose to live. People met Jesus simply because somebody else stood there before the Lord and said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And so a simple faith-filled yes to the Holy Spirit, friend, won't guarantee you an easy life. You've probably already experienced that. But it sure will lead to a full and an adventurous, a life of joy and purpose and impact and love and community and power. So my question is, will you say yes to him? When he asks the question, "Who will I send? Who will go for us?" Will it be you that rises to your feet and says, "Here I am, Lord, send me"? What I want us to do, and you don't have to do this evening, but I would love to anoint, for us all to be anointed with oil. Now, oil in the Bible was always a symbol of joy and the presence and power of God, the two things inseparable. And symbolic, there's nothing actually powerful. Got a bit of baby oil down here. It's not even olive oil. There was only vegetable oil, so I called Andrew and said, "Could you get something better than that vegetable oil?" funny story. Totally, I mean, it's related, but we don't even need to go there, but I will because it's funny. We had a men's retreat a few years ago, and we were sitting around on the Saturday evening while a spit was cooking, and we're just sharing just in really vulnerable testimonies of how God was at work in our lives. And I just had this real quickening in my spirit that we needed to do this thing, just symbolically anoint everyone with oil. And so I ran into the kitchen. This is down at Rob's farm, and I ran in. It was dark, and I just opened the cupboard, and I grabbed the first thing of oil I could find, and I came out. So, right, let's just pray that the Lord would meet us in this moment of vulnerability and sharing, and I'll anoint everyone with oil. So I got the oil and I started going around. I tipped my finger and put some on his head and then his head, and I'm going around the circle, and I noticed that everyone started rubbing their heads real weird, and I'm like, "What's going on here?" And I look at the bottle. It was chili infused olive oil, and so guys were having their heads on fire. This is not chili infused olive oil, all of that to say. But I'd love, and I'm not going to do this. This isn't like me anointing you with oil. This is just whoever you're here with, or if you're here with no one, find a friend, or if you don't feel comfortable doing this, that's okay. God's not going to be any less with you or use you any less if you don't do this. But it's just a moment for us to symbolically say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And if that's a prayer that you're up for praying, I would love whoever you're sitting next to, and you don't have to put on their head, that could be a little bit weird. You could put it, but if you want to do that, go for it. If you want to tip it over your head, that's fine. Do whatever you need to. But even if you just want to get, it's in the little cup here, and just put some on your friend's hand and just say, "May the Lord go with you." May that be the simple prayer. That's all, just to pray. You know, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And just if you, whoever you're with just says, "May the Lord go with you in Jesus' name." Just the power of the simplicity of this, because that's all it is. We just bring what we've got. "Here I am, Lord, with all of my strengths and with all of my talents, with all of my skills, but also with all of my weaknesses, with all of my vulnerabilities, with all my limitations, with all of the liabilities that come with me as a human being in the world. Here I am, Lord, send me." And so let's just do that, and then we're going to go and eat some dinner together. So I don't know, we don't need a vibe for that. So we can just get come. I don't know, Jody, just want to get one of these and just hand out the little thingies, and just as simple as that. Dip your finger in the cup and put it on the person you're with hand, and as a way of just saying, "May the Lord go with you." And if you feel like there's more to pray into with your friend, pray a blessing over them. Pray that the Lord would in fact go with them into their world, into their workplace, into the school canteen. I mean, Shell could tell you 1,000 stories of how the Lord works in school canteens. But wherever you are, just let's just use this as a moment to pray and bless one another, anoint each other with the power of the Holy Spirit, and we'll just give it a few minutes of just quiet and silence and all the rest of it. But Father, we just pray just in this moment now as we collectively say, here we are, Lord, send us. As we receive the anointing of oil, may we be reminded of the joy that comes upon us through the power of the Holy Spirit. May we be reminded of the indwelling presence of God who is with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As the psalmist says, where can I flee from your presence? Even if I go to the furthest parts of the ocean, even if I make my bed in the pit of hell, there you are with me. And God, may we be so assured of your presence with us tonight as we just take part in this moment of blessing and anointing and sending. In Jesus' name, amen.